I promise I am prepared. I just got a touch of ADD. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 1. But we're going to try to get to, I'm trying to get to 16. The message is there. I just found some stuff before I got there. Somebody, you know, we read through the Bible. I'm not bragging. I just try to lead some people every year through the Bible. My dad got me hooked on it, God. And then my earthly father, Ronnie Shelton, got me hooked on it. He said, I read the Bible, son. I read from the beginning to the end, and I start over. And I said, if my daddy will do it. And my dad had already gave me a hunger and thirst for God. Had gave me a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. I had a New Testament Bible when I first got saved. And I began to read it every day at work. I read it. I ain't bragging. I'm just telling you, I read it and 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 read it. And I didn't even know there was an Old Testament. I mean, I knew there was one. I just didn't know anything about it. It's like, well, it don't matter. I got this right here. And it's got a bunch of Jesus in it. And then one day my dad told me that, and I started reading. And ever since then, I read through. But I was, it's when you're reading the Bible, there's two different ways. You study the Bible and you read the Bible. If you've never read the Bible, start reading it. Because see, if you're born again, there's this thing on the inside of you. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you'll put it in, He'll pull it out. It'll be all right if you share anything tonight. It'll be okay. Look, if you put it in, He's the one who breathed, who got men to write. Come on, help me. Hey, He's the one who got men to write it so He can discern it. If the one who wrote it resides in you, He can get it out of you. And you say, well, I want it all right now. Amen, me too, but it ain't going to happen. Just keep going back. Keep going back to the well. Keep going back to the well, and He'll give you a drink of water every single time you go. Amen? So I want y'all to see that. So I learned something new. I was sitting on a bench because Coach Johnny back there takes me out of the basketball game. No, I begged him to take it out. Don't be mad at him. I was begging him. I couldn't breathe. But listen, I tried to preach him a message while he was trying to coach because he's a farmer. Well, Eric, is he a farmer? Yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway, but I said, hey, look, I read this verse, John 15, 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Johnny's he's a farmer. His dad, Donnie, started the farm. Is that correct? And he cut it himself, didn't he? Pretty much cut it out himself. So one day he said, you know what? I want a farm. So he started cutting him some land out, amen? And guess what? He started raising tomatoes. And guess what the farming is all about? Tomatoes. Guess what? Their whole farm, down at the Hughes farm, you know what it's all about? It's all about that tomato. They can tell you anything they want to tell you, but guess what? Their vacations, their money, their time, their gasoline, their tractors, their homes, the people they hire, everything they got is about that tomato. Is that correct? Now listen, I know God comes first, but I'm saying as far as a livelihood, it's about that tomato. You know what He said here? He said, God is the husbandman. He is the father. He is the farmer. He owns some land, earth. Guess what? He said, I'm putting a vine down there. You know what the vine is? Jesus. You know what this whole world consists and revolves around? The vine. And listen, if you're a child of God, everything He has and everything He's got in your life is about the vine. Listen, it's about Jesus Christ. If somebody gets saved and they don't tell me that their whole life is centered and pointing to and about the vine, which is Jesus, I tell them every time, please check up and make sure you got what you got. Because when you get saved, everything becomes about the vine. You can go on vacation. You can eat. You can have a good time. You can sleep. You can rest. You can have family time. You can do a lot of stuff. But praise God, you're always thinking about the vine, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and how He's a savior of your soul and a lover of your soul. And you're always thinking, I wonder how I can get Him out further. I wonder how I could produce Him more. I wonder how I could help more people receive Him. It's all about the vine, which is Jesus Christ. Well, I was just sitting there on go yesterday. I was sitting there going, man, that's how it is with God. He's using everything you got to produce the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And you know what? If the tractor breaks down, they get a new tractor. Not because they want another tractor. It's because they got to get the vine right. And because they got to get those tomatoes to market, because we got to get Jesus to the people. Guess what? If a worker don't show up, they got to go get another worker. Why? Because they got to get the tomato out to the people. Guess what? Same thing here. If you don't want to work for Jesus, you don't want to serve Jesus, you don't want to go for Jesus, He'll go get somebody else, because Jesus has to go out. Does that not get y'all excited when y'all see something new in the Word of God? I mean, I'm just sitting there tinkering around on that thing the other day, and I'm sitting there going, man, that's how God sees this earth. Jesus is the main thing. Amen? And if He ain't the main thing, you need to find out if you got the main thing. Because when I got saved, I become the second most important person in the world. Jesus was the most important thing. I died to self, and then Christ rose in me. Amen? Woo! I guess y'all don't get as excited. I promise you, we'll find the message. Amen? Chapter 15, verse 12 is my favorite verse in the Bible. I couldn't bypass it to get to 16. It's my favorite. Amen? My favorite book in the Bible, amen, is, golly, what? Ruth. Shoo, almost lost it. Y'all ready? This is my commandment, verse 12. John chapter 15, verse 12, my favorite verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Boy, it's simple, but hard to do. Just like everything else in the Bible, as simple and plain is anything else, but hard to do. This is my commandment. Write this down. God commands you to love. Amen. Woo! Now listen, if you don't have love in your heart for two things, then you are breaking God's commandment. He says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Amen? And love others as I've loved you. If you don't have those two kinds of radical love, you don't have Jesus. Whew. 2018, it's not fair to be black and white like that, right? You can't just be in the center of the road, right? Guess what? You got to be that way because God's that way. He commands you. He says, listen, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Listen, I want to be honest with you. Jesus, when He seen somebody messed up, He told them they were messed up. That's love. Okay? So don't sit there and say, you know what, if you really love somebody, you'll let them go right down the toilets of life and never say nothing. That's not life. That's not love. That's love when you're willing to be the only one who will sit there and say, listen, you're running in the wrong direction, and you're going down. They might hate you and everybody else might, but praise God, that's real love. I remember I read a story about a bridge that went out in Mississippi in the middle of the night, and there was two fishermen down there, and all they had was some flares. And they were sitting down there, and after another car and after another car, all of a sudden they seen these cars going off into the dark, driving off into the river down in Mississippi. One of them looked at another and said, we got to do something about these cars running off into the water and dying. We just can't sit here. So they ran up on the road, took their flares, and a transfer truck was coming, and they started shooting the flares at the transfer truck. The transfer truck guy is swerving all over the road and swerves and turns the thing sideways and blocks the road, jumps out ready to kill somebody. What are you two idiots doing? You're about to kill me. Look, you're about to run off into an abyss. And we were willing to do whatever it took to get you to stop. I know it seems like fiery darts. And it seems like you're swerving when somebody's telling you straight up truths. But praise God, it'd be better for you to get a little out of control and slide sideways and don't know how it's going to outcome than to you to go off into eternity forever. Listen, the truth can be hot sometimes. But praise God, I'd rather you get a little hot and bothered than die and go to an eternity in hell. Amen? So praise God, they didn't know that. And you know what? They stopped that truck, but that truck started stopping other cars. Sometimes if you stop the right person, you might stop a bunch of persons from going. You might start the next preacher, the next evangelist, the next missionary. You don't know. You see them now, you don't know where they're going to be in a year or two. Well, so I told him he ain't much of nothing. Yeah, but guess what? When you turn him on to God, he turns everybody on to God. There's another kind of love, though. It's sacrificial love. Amen? And that's what kind of love he's talking about here, too. It's giving people love that don't deserve it and can't pay it back. Don't deserve it and can't pay it back. If you want to be like Jesus, start loving people and doing stuff for people, even though you'll never get it back. No, in matter of fact, you probably will never see a return on it in your life, and it's okay. Love, listen, Jesus went to that cross. You say, man, here's what I do to get saved. Listen, we can't afford salvation. It burns me up when somebody says, well, why do you think your salvation's free? I said, because it's free because we could never afford it. It would offend God if you get to heaven and say, well, I got here because I did X, Y, or Z. Listen, when you get there, if you get there, you'll say one thing. You'll say one thing and one thing only. Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Listen, I've been a preacher. I've been a director. I've been a boys' home leader. I've been an evangelist, a missionary. I've been everything under the sun with titles. When I stand before God, I'm going to get on the lowest part of low. I'm going to lay flat before God. And if I can muster, my God, if I can muster, I'm going to take my little finger and I'm going to point towards Jesus. And I'm going to say, it's because of Him that I'm here and Him alone. None of me, nothing of us. We did it because we were saved, not because we were working towards it. We'll take every crown, every award, and cast it at His feet and say, He's worthy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. If you ain't loving people, you're doing something wrong. If you don't love broken people, messed up people, hurting people, a lost and dying world, guess what? I hate to tell you this. Church is not a building. It's not a place. It's people. If you don't have a love for people, you don't have the love of Christ in you. And I'm talking about every kind of person that walks on the face of this planet. When you see somebody and you say, I can't love them because they're X, Y, and Z. And what if God said the same thing about you? God loved you while you were yet an enemy. While you were yet an enemy of His cross. You got to learn. Pray for people that you hate. Guess what? Paul was killing Christians. Guess what? He became one of the greatest Christians we've ever seen. He wrote 14 epistles of the New Testament Bible. And when he first got saved, people said, I won't go around him because he's a killer. But now he's a Savior. He's got the words of the Savior on his lips. You got somebody you're struggling with, pray for them. Pray they get saved. They might be your biggest ally. They might be the biggest nuclear weapon God ever had. Because if they're... Listen. All God wants to do is turn people. If you're running that hard for the devil, sometimes all God doesn't do is when He turns you, all He does is let you go. God, I wish I had about 4 or 5 people that's been running for the devil saying, God, just turn me. Just turn me, God. If I can run that hard for the devil, I know I can run that hard for you. See, Jesus said, I have come and I've become a dying sacrifice for you. Guess what He asked from us? Will you become a living sacrifice for me? He didn't ask you to die. He didn't ask you to do something hard. He asked you to live real life. Let's turn you around a little bit. Some of y'all say, man, Christianity ain't fun. Yeah, because you're trying to live somebody else's Christianity. Live yours. Christianity is fun. I have a blast. I know it makes some religious people mad, but I have fun at what I do. Because I love seeing the devil come out of people. I love to see people get saved. And I love the joy that God gives me. He didn't give me a depression. He gave me an excitement and a fire that won't go out. Why in the world would I be mad and depressed when I've got Jesus? I didn't mean to come preach this hard tonight, but hey, here we are. I ain't even got to the right verse yet. Verse 16. This should set some people on fire right here. You have not chosen me. Write that down. Make a note. Comparison is the biggest thief of joy. That's the title of this message tonight. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's Jesus talking to his apostles. That's Jesus talking to you. I'm about to run through somebody's backyard right here. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He chose you. Did God make a mistake? No. Some of you are in here going, I'm not as good a Christian as he is. I'm not as good a Christian as she is. I'm not qualified like they are. They've got a relationship with God like I can't have. Guess what? They're not you. And you're not them. I was sitting there thinking about that. God, listen, God is God. He knew every one of your flaws, every one of your mistakes, every one of your character defects, and he still chose you. He chose you. My gosh. Well, God, I don't know why God would want somebody. I don't either. I don't care. I don't care. We've got an enemy that says, you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not this, you're not that. And you can look over on that shoulder where that devil sits and say, I know. Ain't it awesome that he chose me anyway? Ain't it amazing that a sovereign, awesome God who didn't need me, come and got me, begged me, chased me, pursued me, saved me, and praise God, I don't know why, but I'm glad he did. God, stop. I'm just some sinner. I just ain't no good. Pray. There's so many better. No, there's not. God loved you enough. He took. Is there anybody in here that God chased you down like he did me? Let the holy hounds loose. They ran through every bar and every place and every country and every state and every little house and every little apartment and every little drug house. Strip joint. Oh, gosh, leave, preacher, now. Leave. Don't say that in our church. Praise God. I don't know where people like that come from. I've been in every bad place you could imagine. I've been sitting in places that I was sitting there looking at it going, how in the world did you end up here? I tell you my worst story right now. I'll tell you. I hope you get this. I was sitting in a drug apartment, 3:00 in the morning, in the wrong part of town. Sitting there watching a woman tie up baggies of cocaine. Me and another friend, we drove down there in a brand new Trans Am. I said, we are either going to die or get arrested. We stick out like sore thumbs. He said, don't worry, man, don't worry. I said, I'm sitting on a seat while they're over there doing that. And they're talking about this and they're talking about that. And this guy busts in the door. My heart jumps out of my chest. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. The guy comes in there and he goes, I ain't got enough money, but I got this gun right here. And I'm like, oh, yes. Here's the part where we die. The woman doing the drugs pulls out a gun. I got a gun too. This is awesome. This is exactly where I want to die. It's exactly what I want in the paper. Amen? I'm already thinking. Oh, knew it, Kevin. No good. That goes on and on and on. It settles down. Everybody's happy except me. And I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, man, I just want to get out of here. I know why we're here. I know what we're here for. I just want to get out of here. And about that time, 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody's been in that house, that apartment all night long. 2 little girls come out, probably 3 years old and 2 years old. They walked out and looked right at me. "What are you doing in my home?" Oh. See, I love kids. And God knows it. I said, "I'm a rotten human being. And I'm here for all the wrong reasons. I shouldn't be here." It broke my heart. I said, "Man, these kids have been here all alone. Their mom's sitting here tying up drugs, making drug deals. And here I am, the only person they're ever going to..." That guy right there. 3 o'clock in the morning, this is the reason, right there, that guy. I'm sitting there going, "Man, this is not what I was made to do." Amen? But you know what? I've been in every one of those places. And you say, "Well, why'd God want you?" I don't have a clue. Hey, listen, when I got saved, August 28th of 04, I got in a single-wide trailer in Georgia, in the floor, and I tried to crawl under the bed. And you know what I told God? I said, "Listen, God, I will give you a list of the reasons why you don't want me." And I started one right after another. And you know what Derek, he said, "Keep them coming." And with every one of them, I started getting freer and freer and freer and freer. Amen? Until the point I stood up and I said, "Oh my God, I got saved." I got saved. I couldn't believe it. So he chose. Look, "You have not chosen me." You don't make a deal with God. You're not pursuing God. He's pursuing you. Listen to this. "I've chosen you. Listen to this word. I have ordained you." Stop trying to climb ladders in the church. Stop trying to to prove yourself to everybody. Listen, I will have to come down a rung or two to meet with anybody else. I've been ordained by God. I've been chosen by God. Everybody else in the ministry is below that. Oh yeah. Some of y'all are looking at me like y'all don't know what you're talking about, brother. We try to impress each other all the time. With how much we know, how much we go, how good we are. Listen to this. Guess what? God chose us. There's no big I's or little U's in the church. There's only saved people. And guess what? Saved from what? Sin. We are all on equal footing. Amen? I've chosen you. I've ordained you. You know me trying. I've tried to climb the ladder of success in the church. People tell you, "Well, you're going to do this. You'll do great things. You'll do..." You know what my greatest thing to do is? Open this book and tell anybody that'll listen what the content says. I don't care if it's 1 or 5,000. I don't care if I do it on a mountain or in the valley. I don't care if I do it in a church or on the street. It's awesome to me. I love it. I get to do that every day. Somebody said, "Would you quit with this?" I'm going to quit when I die, or I can't. You got that mentality in your mind? I took this guy out of the Bible, and I thought, man, here's a good way to experience that. There's a guy named Timothy in the Bible. Do y'all know who he is? No, not Timothy. Thomas. You know who that is, Thomas? Dang, I'm glad somebody... Doubting Thomas. And I thought about it. Listen, in Matthew 10... verse 3, Mark 3, 18, and Luke 6, 15. Guess what? That joker is listed with all the other apostles every time. When you got the 12 apostles lined up, guess what? He's always in there. Thomas Didymus. Amen? He's always in there. And guess what? I started thinking about it. I was like, man, I wonder if God ever said, "You know what? I wish I just hadn't chose Thomas. He's kind of loose with his mouth." Amen? He's one of them sarcastic kind of people who says stuff passive aggressive. It got any passive aggressives in here? Oh, say stuff, and then when you get caught saying it, you can almost turn it around and make it sound like kind of like a joke. Yeah. Thomas was like that. In John chapter 11, he's got 3 things that he said in the Bible. How would you like to have 3 things? You only get 3 things to be said in the Bible, and every one of them are sarcastic or doubting. Y'all all right? I was wondering, because you know, sometimes we like to, I've never, rarely heard, Dan, listen, never heard anybody do this. "Who you want to be?" "I want to be Paul, so I'm saw backbone like a saw log like old Paul. I've heard that my whole preaching life. I'm going to get me a backbone. And I'm like, Saul. I'm going to preach like old Saul. I'm backbone like, do you want to be sick? You want to be in prison? You know, I'm going to be like Peter. I'll just run right out there and do what God has. I'll be like John. I want to just be sweet and just share the gospel. And nobody ever says, I want to be Doubting Thomas. But you know what makes me mad every time I take one of those spiritual tests? You know who I get? Doubting Thomas. You know why? Because I'm a concrete, let me feel it guy. Amen? I mean, I am. I'm like, somebody says something to me, I'm like, let me see it. Amen? Let me say, what's behind there, right? I hardly take anybody for the word. Just let me see. Listen, Thomas, listen, in John chapter 11, verse 16, you know what he said? It's awesome. First time he gets to speak in the Bible. Jesus says, let's go up. We're going up to Jerusalem. They already threatened him to be dead. Lazarus is dead. He goes, amongst all the disciples. Amongst all the spiritual people. Amongst the church. He said, yeah, let's all go up there. We can die. Let's just all go up there. We can all die with them. Man, that's your one-hit wonder in the Bible. Being a smart aleck to Jesus in front of all the spiritual people. You can be a smart aleck at work, but not at church. Well, some of you. Amen? He looks at him and says, let us all go up to Jerusalem that we all die. You know what I like about Thomas, though? Somebody want to say it? He went. Amen? Some people talk a big game. They're all talk and no walk. I don't mind somebody complains as long as they're still in the game. Amen? I don't mind somebody running behind. Well, that's dumb. I don't like it. Go ahead and let's do it. You know. Amen? Complaining the whole way, but praise God. Bending their back, bowing their back, working, putting in there, walking with them. Amen? Probably in the back of the line kicking rocks. I know better. I know better than... Listen, you know how many times I wish I could be real with you? You know how many times I've kicked rock and drug my feet and went somewhere sitting there thinking about it, hoping he's going to change his mind? Well, I don't want to do that. That's just, you know, that's real dumb, you know. I know I'm going in the right direction. I know I'm following you. I know I'm going up there. I know I'm going to do it, but praise God, he's just aggravated. You better, would you please? All right, let's just do it then. Amen. John chapter 14 says one of the better second chance. Hey, God is a God of second chances. What if you keep messing up, though? John chapter 14, it's verse 4 and 5. Jesus makes this, he says, I am gone. I am going. And where I'm going, amen? I'm going in. You're going to come. You know, Thomas, we don't know where you're going. Where are you going? I mean, listen, sometimes be quiet and you'll sound smart. Amen? Sometimes you can be a fool and be quiet and seem wise, but then you open your mouth and ruin it all. Nobody else had said anything. Even big mouth Peter had his mouth shut. Thomas goes, we don't have a clue where you're going. Been with you for 3 years. I came down here, my passion is down the cross, going up to Jerusalem, going to die. 3 days later, go raise the temple. We don't have a clue. Where are you going? You better tell us. Don't you love that guy though? Because guess what? He didn't go nowhere. He didn't say, because you're not giving me all the information, because I don't listen, because I don't understand it, because I don't get it, and you ain't helping me, I'm going with somebody else. He said, I'm still with you, Jesus. He knew every doubt. He knew every little sarcasm. He knew every little trick he had. And you know what? And Jesus still left him in the fold and still loved him. And still met him on his level. Met him. God, I wish I had a few people in here to say, thank God he meets me on my level. I don't have to be Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, or anybody else. I'll just be me. And you know what? God loves you just the way you are. I love the last one. It's John chapter 20, verse 22 through 29. Jesus showed up, and he weren't there. Believe that. Thomas wasn't there. Just so he can record his last line in the Bible that he says. Until I can put my hands where the nails were in his feet and his hand. And listen, he goes a step further. And if I can't ram my hand in his side. Amen? okay, I'm sorry, that's the Kevin version, K version. I want to place my hand in the wound of his side. And until then, I won't believe. Three times. That's his three big moments in the Word of God. And God loved him as much as Peter, James, John, Paul, anybody, Moses, David, anybody. He knew exactly who he was and what he was capable of and what he was going to do for him and his purpose. And God knows you too. Stop trying to come in here and be so sister so-and-so or some great saint from the past, because I hate to tell you, they don't exist. God called you. He ordained you. And guess what? If he hadn't already, he saved you for his purpose. I hate to tell you this, but you know what the rest of the story goes? It's not in the Bible. But guess what? Thomas went to a little small continent called India and preached from one coast to the other coast, from the top and the bottom of India, and spread churches all over that continent even before India became India. And they found monuments and churches spread all over that continent that had Thomas's name on them. And where he died, he was in prayer. He had stolen so many people from the churches of that day that they, while he was praying, they impaled him with a spear. And he never stopped praying. That's doubting Thomas, full of the Holy Ghost. Called because God waited on him, let him be who he was going to be, and when he was ready, he set him free to do the things that he was called to do. Stop doubting who you are in Christ Jesus. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop looking around saying, I'm not needy, I'm not measuring up. Guess what? You measured up on the first day. God took you. Come on, Ryan, get a song. Come on, everybody stand.